Welcome to this special spin-off audio program on the management of brain metastases in patients with non-small cell lung cancer that was developed following a satellite CME symposium held at the 2019 Society for Neuro-Oncology Annual Meeting in Phoenix, Arizona. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. I met with Dr. Gregory Riley, who participated in our symposium, to review the topics and cases discussed at the meeting, including audience polling data, and to obtain his perspectives on the integration of novel therapies into the management of patients with non-small cell lung cancer and CNS metastases. To begin, I asked Dr. Riley for his perspective on one of the survey questions we posed to a group of neuro and community-based oncologists. One of the things we asked these oncologists, these are typical general medical oncologists, how many patients with metastatic lung cancer are in your practice? And the median was about 50, which at first blush seems unbelievable. You know, that seems like a huge, huge number. But actually, when you multiply by number of oncologists, it actually makes sense. I think it's right. I mean, and I guess my question to you is, first of all, are you surprised to hear that?
I think the key factor, of course, is, you know, incidence prevalence. You know, it's just like we dealt with CML long ago. CML was once a rare disease, and now we've turned things around a little bit. And so I think, you know, you can imagine if you include those ALK-positive patients, those EGFR mutant patients that are remaining in a practice 3-4 times as long as what the patients 5 years ago did, I think that probably does sort of jive with reality. And of course, I also feel like medical oncologists in the community really feel comfortable managing these patients now, whereas a few years ago, they weren't exactly sure which drugs to use when, and so they felt a little bit more like they wanted to send those patients off to some other place. But now they really fit in their practice. Those docs feel comfortable, or at least more comfortable, with how to treat them.
That's interesting, that analogy to prevalence with CML. I mean, there's also a smattering of people who've got checkpoint inhibitors who are living a lot longer, checkpoint plus chemo. So yeah, that really is interesting. The other thing I was curious about is when you take a step back and think about lung cancer, so squamous, non-squamous slash adeno, and small cell, in general, when you think about patients with metastatic incurable disease, for each one of those three, what fraction of patients, I don't know if there's data on this or you just have sort of a global feeling you can, you know, come up with, what fractions of patients during that time towards, you know, dying from lung cancer in those three diseases do you think have significant issues with CNS mets?
I think at diagnosis, and there's a range depending on whether it's small cell or squamous cell, I think at diagnosis it's probably about 10 to 20% have brain metastases. And depending on the type of disease, it can go to 50, 60%. I think in a patient with, say, EGFR or a patient with ALK, I think the numbers go up to 50 to 60% during the course of the patient's illness.
So do you think because they're living longer or something about the biology?
I think it's because they're living longer. And they're living longer because we're controlling their systemic disease. I think, as you probably know, systemic disease has always been the life-limiting problem for most patients, even those patients with brain metastases. And so as we do a better job controlling the systemic disease, we're seeing more problems with brain metastases.